Elhamdülillah ve salatu ve selamu ala Resulillah ve eşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike leh ve eşhedü enne seyyidina Muhammeden abduhu ve resuluhu ve eşhedü ennehu ebbeleğe risale ve edde'l emane ve nasaha'l ümme ve cahede fi sabilillahi hakka cihadi hatta etahu Allahu yakin. İnşallah in the continuation of the Muslim family series. Now we are talking about the what constitute your action, your life. What are the laws that constitute the life which is supposed you yourself to live by and to enforce it in your household, so inshallah you can fulfill the purpose and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we found out that the constitution or the law that constitute this relationship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in Surah An-Nahl, al-Ayah 90, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And I explained the meaning of each one of those, and after that we are now focusing about al-'adl, which is the justice, which basically means that you are giving every one that you deal with what's due for them or what is the right and obligation according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And the first one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I started to talk about that. I give a definition to who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what we supposed to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I talked about the basic rules that's supposed to exist in the communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we found out that the major thing, that the concept of sacrifice is not the base anymore, but خَيْرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the best among you by piety. And there is no discrimination in this application. We all, whatever differences between us, this is nothing more than a demonstration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala capability in the creation. And now we need to know the etiquettes or how to apply those rules and those regulations that constitute the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes on the top of the list that you believe in Him will never associate with Him. You never commit a shirk. And you need also the shirk that mean, and I the shirk is very big topic, very big topic, and they are different kinds. But basically what the shirk means, a kufr, it means that you know and you deny. That's a kufr. You know, you understand, you comprehend, you deny. But the shirk, you already approved. But at the same time, you are claiming one or more attribute belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other deity. You think that the healing can be done by somebody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or somebody can, in any given time, if you have the feeling somebody can be harmful to you or can be beneficial to you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we got a problem here and we got a very good potential for a shirk case. Because no one can harm you and no one can be beneficial to you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless where that is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dedicate, it requires the total submission. It is not you obey when you want or whatever based on your convenience. It is total submission. And I explained before that when you submit to somebody, usually because the submission to others mean they are taking advantage of you and using you. They are not for your best interest, but for their best interest. About the submission of Allah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you submit to Allah, you are the only beneficiary and the first beneficiary out of that submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you follow and you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get the benefit out of that. Allah doesn't get it, the benefit, and at the same time, you'll never be harmed by following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, accepting Allah's decree in your life. You have to have a confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this confidence, we need to establish a confidence in a lot of things, but there are basic principles that we really have to believe in. You are merely a visitor. The whole entire life is a visit. And visit being done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by His wisdom without any interfering from you. You are not the one who planned to be created to life. You are not how to look like, how long you're going to live, where you're going to live, who your parents, all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you to life. And imagine that you are a guest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you are a guest. And if you are in somebody's home or property, usually we're very kind to our guest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kind to His creatures and to His guests. So the only thing missing in this is what? Is the guest itself to be polite. Not take advantage of the kindness of the host. Which is that we suppose when we behave the way we behave. And we think that it is mine. There is nothing yours. Even yourself is not you. You seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accept Allah's decree in your life with the confidence that everything is going in your life, it meant it to be. That's number one. Number two, it is a mercy, act of mercy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanna punish you, who gonna stop him? If Allah wanna destroy the universe, if He wanna destroy the earth, who gonna stop him? And He's managing His own affairs. Who gonna stop him? That's His right. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealing with us with kindness, you have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you are going through, it is an act of mercy. But you need to find out where is this mercy and what is the message that came with it. Also, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only way is to make up for your shortcoming. For everything we do, there is a shortcoming. The only way that you can do with the shortcoming that you do is by dua, supplication. You keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for supplication. And when you keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep blessing you. And blessing here is what? Putting more peace. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no fear and they have no sadness. Why? Because they accepted Allah's decree. The only problem they have in any given time is Allah pleased with me or not? Am I doing the best that I can or not? Also, you have to be from a shakirin. A shakirin, the thankful one. There is a difference between in the Arabic language, thanking and appraising. You can thank, but usually you thank for act. You are going to the shopping center, you have something in your hand, somebody opened the door, what you say? Thank you. Do you know him or know her? No. But you praise the act. You appreciate, recognize the act. That's shukr. Alhamd, which is started the Quran by it, it's started by what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It means what? The appraise for you, for your being, regardless what the act is coming from you. So the appraise here for the being, for the supreme being, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless what is coming. And that type of hamd, it will never happen if you don't know who you are thanking. Okay. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you recognize what He's been given to you. How? By by applying what he gave you to make his to make his word supersede. So you, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, you use it to strengthen your belief and apply it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. When you listen to Sayyidina Sulaiman, I want to make the long story short about the ant and when he heard him, what he said, Rabbi ajzali an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayhi wa ala walidayhi wa an a'mala 'amalan salihan tardah. Show me how to use this gift to please you, not to abuse it or to misuse it or neglect it. Show me how I can use it to please you. And this is what you're supposed to say to yourself every single second. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me? Give me health. How am I going to use it to please him? He gave me money. How am I going to use it to please him? He gave me knowledge. How am I going to use it to please him? He gave me time. How am I going to use it to please him? Everything Allah giving you is a ni'mah, is a blessing. You have to have the strategy and the mind how you use it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you thank the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never be despair or disappointed or lose hope in Allah's mercy. These are terminology, they do exist in the dictionary and they're going to stay there. In the Muslim life, there is no such a thing called despair. There is no such thing called disappointment. There is no such thing called losing hope. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy, you can't. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My mercy can contain everything. And Allah can change everything. You have to be confident and relax about Allah's capability that He can change anything. And He can change everything. In no time and in no reason. We are sitting down here getting the fruit of the sincerity of one man, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He never lost hope. He never got despair or gave up. And look at the fruit of the tree that he planted. It gets to the point that even we don't know the language of each other, but we are communicating very well with each other. What kind of miracle is this? And it is happening every single second. You have to understand all the time, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And I understand Dr. Ali, mashallah, he's doing in his series about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's doing, may Allah bless him, a lot of good effort in that. There is a Ra'uf and there is a Rahim. We already know the word about Rahim. Rahim, it means what? The one who is capable of preventing harm before it happens. And bringing and identify your need and give it to you before you ask for it. So imagine that you are, Allah will wait till you feel the need for the air and He will give it to you. What will happen to you? Allah give it to you before you ask for it, even before you know that you need it. And this is a rahmah. But ra'uf, what does it mean ra'uf? Ra'uf, it means damage already happened. You damage yourself. You have been doing a lot of things bad. That has nothing to do with the concept of forgiveness. Forgiveness and tawbah and pardon is another issue. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word ra'uf. Ra'uf, it means what? The one is capable of lifting the harm now. That it do exist. So, Rahim, he will prevent it from happening. Ra'uf, it means he can lift it now. And it's already happening. So So the harm that you caused by yourself, to yourself, the only one who can lift it, Ra'uf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can lift that. So you need to understand it all time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ra'ufun Rahim. If He is the only one who can lift whatever that harm. It can be sickness, it can be crisis, it can be whatever that is. Allah is the only one who can do it. Also, another thing that we need to look at is sometimes when you are doing the act of obedience, you have to be more careful, as well as, and maybe more, of disobeying. Because in sometimes, the act of disobedience can be better for you than the act of obedience. And I mean what I said. I didn't say it wrong. If you do an act of obedience that can make you take the rest of your life for granted, and you think you got it, and you did, and you deceive yourself, and you think that's give you privileges, and you started to act based on that, that is better, or a slip, or act of disobedience, alarm your conscience, waken it up, and make you call for forgiveness, and for raja, and for hope, for Allah forgiveness, and make you run again to Allah mercy. And the first one, even if it looks good, but it make you slip out. And the second one, make you run in. So when you do the good deed, you have to be very, very careful. Is that getting you closer to Allah, or it is not getting you closer to Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never take anything for granted. If you do a good deed, you finish doing that good deed, whatever that is, with the hope of acceptance. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. And the hope that the Allah will forgive all the shortcoming that you did, even when you are doing this one. You need to understand that every single time you raise your hand to make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all hearing and all seeing and all knowing, and He knows what's in your heart and what you mean and what you are going through. If it is good for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you now. And the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, my servant, in that day, in that time, in that situation, you asked for my help. Did you get it? And the answer will be, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know I didn't. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, because it was not good for you there, it is good for you here. And now, just for knowing that you have a Rabb, you have a Lord to go to ask for help, I will give you. Now I will grant your wish, and I'm going to give you what you ask for. You need to know, when you make dua and you raise your hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look, when the shaitan, wal'a'azu billah, he said that he will set the sirat al-mustaqim. He will take Adam and his offspring as the enemy, the target. What did he say? He said, "Atiyannahum, I will come to them from their rights and from their left and from their front and from their back." How many directions those? They are four. But how many directions we have? We have six. That means there is two directions the shaitan cannot come. And the relationship is completely direct between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, when you are making sujood, because you all under. Nothing between you and between Allah when you make sujood. And the other, from the top of your head when you raise your hand and make dua. Nothing between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never lose hope or think that you made dua and it will not grant it or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ignored. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all hearing, all seeing, all knowing, and He knows. He is the one who put passion and love and care in your mother heart for you and your father heart. Imagine how many He has more for you if you are obedient. Also, never ever doubt Allah's justice. The minute the oppressor, the minute the wrongdoer start doing his planning and act, or her planning or act, the counter attack or the counter protection already started from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Allah's justice subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a subject of discussion, not a subject of doubt. Allah is all wise and all kind and all just. Allah's justice subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe what you think it is harmful can be very beneficial to you, and what you think it can be very beneficial to you can be very harmful to you. But whomever Allah will settle their account in this life or in the hereafter. Look at the what it seems to be injustice in Surah Yusuf to a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to more than one prophet, to Sayyidina Yusuf and his father. But what happened after that? Justice revealed. But the type of experience, the type of maturity between point A and point B is completely different. Is Sayyidina Yusuf needed that type of a training? Allahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows what Sayyidina Yusuf needed to be Sayyidina Yusuf. And also needed the type of experience that for his father to go through to be more mature. So, you will never lose hope in Allah's justice. Also, you never, we have in the oppressions, we have two kinds. We have zalim, and this is the one who manage or take advantage of others and benefit out of that. But we have another kind, and he is the worst. Zalimun li nafsi. Zalimun li nafsi is mean one. He is disobeying Allah and violating other people's rights, but he's getting no benefit out of it. He's not getting any benefit out of it. The one who is following a dictator and telling him, kill. Oh, you killed, but who is getting the benefit? The dictator, not you. When somebody gonna misuse your car for whatever reason is, and you give him, and he come and ask you for the keys, and you give him the key, you are partner with him in this thing. He got the car and he used it, but you didn't do anything. But at the same time, you share the same. So you are zalimun li nafsik. You have two kinds. You have a zalim and you have zalim li nafsik. You have to be alert. And you have to be careful about not to being either. Also, one of the things I hope and I pray that I'm going to come the day that I see it, and the way we communicate with each other. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedient to none. No obedient to anyone if they're going to lead to disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. even the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the higher status, which is your parents, what he said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفٌ. Even your parents, if they command you to do the shirk, which is the major one, do what? Do not disobey, do not obey them, and be kind to them. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفٌ. So there is no justification, and that's part of your attribute, your character, part of how strong your iman is do you obey other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Imagine if that principle will be applied. It's not going to be any dictator. I really don't believe among the human being there is something called a super human being. In a sense of he'll come and dictate and take advantage and abuse and rule and dominate others, because he's strong and they are less strong. No. But I think he is devious enough, or she is devious enough, to know how to invest your weakness. They know how you feel weak. And after that they come and they take your strength and add it to them. And multiply that. And this is how dictator rules. Look at between what I'm saying, dictator rules, and look at somebody like Umar ibn al-Khattab and the personality that every Muslim had to stand up and question Umar ibn al-Khattab. And not only to question him, but question his integrity. That is the type of attitude that we need to build a community and to build a family. A family, every member in it, and community, every member in it, know how to respect the other rights, how to respect the other feelings, but at the same time, he will never go with the flow. If that flow is going to lead to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you have to stand alone, why not? There is nothing wrong at all with standing alone. Because when you are stand alone, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. You are in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who can be more happy? Who can be more happy than the person that he knows is doing what he is doing, man or woman, only devoted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, all of these, so dua, supplication, submission, confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy and Allah's justice, never associate with Him. All of these, there are etiquettes, constitute the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guidance and blessing. And ask Him to bless our gathering and forgive all our sin and all our shortcomings. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. All of these khutab, they are nothing merely more than highlights that it can help us to go and investigate more, or to know more, or to ask more, or to direct our reading to a certain area. The last subject that I want to talk about, inshallah, in this, which is going to be very short, even if that is the activity of a lifetime, is how to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said before the old theory that the human being all the time, when he recognizes the existence of something and he cannot verify by the five senses, what he does, use imagination to create it. And I give example about how the devil look like or how the angel look like. And in the devil, we got all the attributes, the red color, the skinny body, tail, spear, all of those, the things that we are afraid of, represent danger, represent harm. And we said, this is how the devil look like. Who said that this is how the devil look like? And we talk about angel, you know, light background, toddly, cuddly body, woman or a child, toddler, wings. And who said this is how the angel look like? Angel, we have wings because we know that they are in heaven, and the only thing that you can see flying is the birds, and they have wings. But who said that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how they look like, how these wings look like, we don't know. And who said this is how the angel look like? And exactly the same approach the people know in defining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was one of the major issues, that the message of Islam, the message of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the Quran al-Kareem, it came to clarify forever. He said, that approach cannot be used anymore. Don't use it, it is wrong. You have three different ways to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they all integrate with each other, and they are available to every single one of us, and they all within the boundaries of your five senses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first way he said, you need to know me through my creation. My creation, we're going to tell you about my knowledge, about my wisdom, about my mercy, about everything that you need to know. Look at my creation. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. If you look at the signs of the day and night, اختلاف الليل والنهار, there are a lot of signs in the life. Each one of them is more than miracle. And they all happening in front of you. And the thing here about it is, regardless what is your level of education, what is your whatever, you can see how it happened. Miracle after miracle. Look, I'm going to give you one right now. Look outside, please, when you're leaving, just take a second. I don't want you to take more than a second. Look at all the trees around on the two sides. When they all get the command, they all drop the leaf. And when they all get the command, they all freeze. How would that happen? Symphony. Perfection. How is the bird fly without no runways? How they maneuver? What kind of a navigation system? What kind of education they got? What kind of a navigation school they went to? How many creatures they can live in more than one environment at the same time and adapt to it in no time? The bird can be in heaven, can fly, and he can be on the ground at the same time. Some birds can be flying, can be in water, and can be on the earth, and they live in the three different habitats. And you see them. But how they balance? So these issues, this is a lifetime. And no end to it, regardless what is your background. The second way of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you see how Allah defined himself, by himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined himself by himself in the Holy Quran and in the teaching of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, who is doing the definition? Allah. And he said, no jihad in this area. That's it. In Surah Al-Shura, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, none that you can imagine can be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the definition of recognizing Allah is outside the jurisdiction of your five senses. So Allah defining himself by himself. Another, through the attributes and the names of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ, he is the most merciful. هُوَ الْعَظِيمُ, the great. هُوَ اللَّطِيفُ, the kind. He is defining, so through his names, we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe you may agree with me or disagree with me, that's your right. But this is how I see it. When you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name, I consider in the university that you will never graduate from. You can get in, but you will never get out. Just to live with every single name of him. Al-Qabid, Al-Muhi, Al-Mumid, Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim, Al-Sabur, Al-Shakur, Al-Ati, Al-Wahib, Al-Raziq, Al-Nafa, Al-Dar. All of those, when you understand, try to understand and to live with them, believe me, this is not a school or it is not a college, it is a university that you get in and you will never get out. So we have three ways that we're supposed to do to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, through his creation. Number two, how he defined himself and his messengers. And number three, through the attributes, through the names. Through the names and the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. It is very important, if you want to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right, is to know how to deal with him, know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to recognize him, and how to live in the, to establish the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. And the question is this, are we willing to do it or we are not? Or there is something else entailing here? So, inshallah, I hope that I covered just the glimpses about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right in the al-'adl. Inna Allah ya'muru bil-'adl. After that, it's going to be, inshallah, the Quran right. And after that, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right. And we will start with every being that you interact with right, including yourself, including your community, including your country rights. And all of these things, inshaAllah, it will be entailed under only one, which is al-'adl. Inna Allah ya'muru bil-'adl. So let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and pardon all of us and give us brand new study, a brand new beginning, and help us to understand the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibad Allah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. Ibad Allah, inna Allah ya'muru bil'adli wal-ihsani wa ita'i dhil-qurbah وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون واقم الصلاه
الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان